You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Ugh, you said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
All right, let's see if this is working. It looks like I got this fired up. All right, this is going to be the last 7 days. Oh, shoot, week 6? Yeah, week 6 update. This is going to be recapping Iowa, my Iowa trip. So I am doing this in the truck. Yes, I am in my truck. What a crazy thing to say. 2.5 months later, I finally got my truck back from Omaha, and I am headed home. But yeah, I want to go through this recap. Just started out. I don't think there's going to be intro music with this because timing didn't work. And I don't even know if this is going to connect or not now. I got a circle of doom going on my phone. Anyways, I'm going to keep trying this, see if it works. But I'm going to get this off right off the rip. I thought I was going to have time to do this podcast tonight at the lodge that I was staying at, with the house that we were staying at, I was staying with Aaron at Chad's place. And what happened was my truck ended up getting done, and the guy was able to bring me to my truck, which is about 1 hour and 40 minutes away, 1 hour and 30 minutes away or something like that. And I am in my truck and I'm heading home. So I put it off to the last minute just to try to give as much updates as I could for everything before I pushed it over. But I'm just going to end up sending this file over, and this is what you get. So thank you for joining Michigan Wild again. Thank you for clicking on the old podcast icon and downloading it and showing me some love. I really do appreciate that. And especially going through the last 7 days, week by week, I've really enjoyed giving daily updates and kind of combining them all into one podcast. I did not do that here. This is going to be me just recapping the week because I was in Iowa, baby, and the land of the Giants. And it literally was so much fun, and I did enjoy it, even without a tag or a ball in my hand. So Iowa was great. It was I'm a little crazy. I don't know, but when the opportunity arose with Aaron, and you can listen over at Aaron from the Fall Podcast here in Blasey. We talk about it. I think he might have dropped that podcast already. But when this all came to be, it kind of seemed like it was a little meant to be. I was the agenda for this year was to bow hunt Kansas and to gun hunt Iowa. Some things kind of happened with schedule for Iowa, and that got pushed back to next year. And then the Kansas, I did not draw. I drew the year before with no points, and this year didn't draw with no points. So I was kind of like, man, I don't know what to do, and didn't really have anything kind of planned and was going to kind of just wing it this fall. Didn't know what that meant or what that was going to be. And talk with Aaron, shout out to him once again. I mean, he's been stand up to me and someone I look up to in the podcast game. And we've become friends over the last couple of years through this. And we, talking to him and he drew his Iowa tag and talking about filming and all that stuff and kind of like nonchalant. It was like, well, dude, I have no plans. I'll tag along with you in November in Iowa. And he kind of was like laughed it off and was like, there's no way you'd give up that for Bohan in the rut. And I kind of was like, no, dude, seriously, I have no problem. I mean, shoot, I go out of state every year in the rut, and I've only ever killed one buck with my bow. So it's not like the odds are in my favor anyways. So I kind of told him that, and then, a few months ticked by, and he reached back out to me and said, hey, dude, I'll take you up on that offer if you're still down. And I said, absolutely. The one kicker was if he was going in October, and if he had shot a buck in October, I wouldn't be able to go in November. So I said, hey, that's fine. Like, with me, deep down, I was kind of hoping he didn't get one so I could go. But obviously, if he shot one anytime, I would have been ecstatic for him. So what came to be was he went down in October and, did not seal the deal, had some good hunts. Josh Tanner, I believe, filmed them from Mic'd Up Podcast. And I always joke about how his voice is so just, just such a great podcast voice he has. And he joked with me that if he needed a phone call on my trip to put me to sleep at night, he could read me a story or something. But anyways, it was a lot of fun planning this and like exciting to go on this hunt and film. And that's, November, we left November 5th and went down to Iowa, and it was an adventure. I would have to say that going into the hunt, I was very like game day feel. Like, I've always played sports and you get that pregame jitters a little bit right before. I always wanted to go on kickoff or kick return in football, and I always was on it. I always found a way to make sure I was there. And just because I wanted to have that be the first play where I had to go just hit someone, right? Put the pads on, smack someone, and you're locked in. And that's kind of how I felt all the way there. Aaron picked me up and we went, and it was, it was one of those things where Aaron did a great job of, talking me through what his expectations were and all stuff, because he's filmed for years. I think he started filming hunts in 2012. So dude's a seasoned vet and super nice. And like, it really made my part of this trip super easy being that way. And I was kind of excited that we were going to a spot that he had already hunted. So he had a really good feel for how deer are moving throughout the property. And we were strategizing the whole way down pretty much and talking about this and talking about that, looking at weather forecasts and doing all those things. But our first plan was to go into a stand, which he called Crossroads. And that was the same stand that he hunted every set. He hunted this farm with in October with Josh. So there was already everything set up. All I had to do was put a platform in a tree, and it was going to be ready to go. So excitement was high. We seen a pile of deer dry. Well, we got pretty close to where we were hunting. We were about, hour and a half out during prime time. So we got to see all the deer in the fields, and we were making game time decisions of what to do. And that's what we're going to do. We're going back to Crossroads, which was a spot that worked really well for a south wind. It was on like the far southwest corner of the property. And that was the game plan. So wake up in the morning, hopped on an e-bike in the dark, which I've never used an e-bike before, but man, e-bikes are really cool. I always really liked the idea of an e-bike, but never had used one. And after using one of these e-bikes for this whole week, I am definitely going to be doing some saving and some strategizing, sell some things, do some stuff so I can get my hands on one. That's how much I enjoyed it. And I'm a big dude, man. I'm 6 foot one, 250, 260 pounds, somewhere in there. Throw a heavy backpack on my back, and those bikes carried me back and forth really well. And there was it wasn't like aggressively steep, but it was a steep, gradual hill. Like, it was one of those hills that, like, you had to walk up and down that, you'd be feeling it. You'd be breathing heavy, and it would have been pretty grueling doing that, six straight days. But taking the e-bikes in, just, man, it was so nice. to do that. Your scent profile was minimized. We were able to ride the bikes really close. Didn't have to wake up an absurd early amount of time. We would have like a 3/4 mile, maybe even more. It probably was 3/4 mile that we still had to like turn to walk. It probably been really close to 1 mile of a walk if we didn't use those. And yeah, it worked great. If I get my hands on one, I have all sorts of ideas and strategies in my head of how to implement that as a tool with hunting properties and access and all that stuff. So anyways, I really enjoyed that. That was fun. But my first experience was in the dark in the morning, following Aaron into a place I've never been to before. So it was great. We got in there. I had to set up a platform. He already had sticks in a tree and proceeded to start the morning off with a bang. Like, we're getting set up. It's not even shooting light yet, but the moon was out and I got a deer coming and some pit corn and we were able to throw binos out, little doe. And Aaron's like, yeah, we see little doe quite a bit. I was here last and I didn't think really anything of it. And, 10 minutes go by. We're still about 15 to 20 minutes before a legal shooting light. And so that little doe had been in front of us for about 5-10 minutes. And I see two more bodies coming. And I throw the binos up and I'm like, Aaron, the third one is a big body and I can see rack. And I just start, it's way too dark to do any filming or anything like that. And we're just like trying to like figure out what's going on here. And they come right up to like 25, 30 yards, and I can see big beams. I can put 8 points for sure on them. Blackhead, a buck that Aaron had, it's most likely the buck Aaron had seen earlier. We called the big eight, pretty generic, but it's easy to have that be your name, your clean 8 points. So he was with a doe, and he was grunting. It was so cool, bat, 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 grunt, that's his doe. And just unfortunately, it wasn't shooting light. So they worked off. And that morning, just kind of like the first hour of daylight was just crazy. We saw like maybe not even, maybe it was only 30 minutes probably. I bet an hour from the time we saw that buck with a doe to, half hour into shooting light. It's kind of our activity. We caught another buck working right at gray light, working across and seeing these deer. And I'm just like, whoa, this is nuts. I'm like, there's deer, what's going on? And, then it tapered off. So day one was probably our most exciting part of day one was sitting there and, having that hunt. And it was a lot of fun. And I think we ended up, I'm pretty sure on day one, we had to make a new set and we did. And I just want to kind of break this property down a little bit. It is a giant chunk of CRP. If you were to drive by this or drive into this property, you can't really see it from the road. You would be like, how did you get a deer in bow range? And that was the difficult, that was the challenge that this property had. It was great CRP for deer, tall, with diversity throughout the CRP with ditches in it, a couple little fence rows and some shrubs. There's like a willow bottom, we called it. It was great. Like, it is a pheasant hunter's paradise, essentially. Like, if any of my buddies who pheasant hunt would have stepped out of the truck and cleared this little hill and overlooked this property, they would have been chomping at the bit to go down there with their dogs and shoot a limit of pheasants. So it was like that. And I was excited because I think those are really cool properties to hunt. And I do remember talking to Aaron, like looking at the map and stuff. And I was like, that is going to be step one is locating the deer. Step two is trying to get the bugger to come by in bow range. So we proceeded to, I believe we hung a new set in a little itty bitty cedar tree. And I can't remember if I feel like that was day one we did that. My days are all bumbled up because you're just grinding out sits and stuff. We do a couple season updates, so I might be missing some details. But anyways, we get this set in this little itty bitty cedar, and I think we hunted it that night because I think there was a wind shift that happened. And we end up hunting those two sets back and forth, each day, and saw some, really good deer movement, I guess, for the property. Like, to me, it was like anytime we located deer and it came by within deer range, I thought that was pretty good, or bow range, I thought that was pretty good. And, we kind of had a, we, I'm trying to think, I think we hung that set And then I don't know if we hunted it that night. We actually might have went back to Crossroads. And it was slow. It was slow, slow, slow. And we ended up seeing, overall, we ended up seeing a buck chasing a doe. And it looked good. It was a different buck. And we kind of had some trail cam pictures mixed in there. Essentially, there was four bucks that were on this property that Aaron was interested in shooting. Randy, which is one he had a lot of history with the week before, and he's had the most with. That was his number one, probably. There was the big eight that he was very interested in. There was a deer we called Chipper, Chipper Jones. He kind of had a little broken off tine. And then there was this deer we saw bump with the doe, either on our second sit or the second day. We called him Freight Train because he was just freight train behind this doe across this open field, mouth out, head down. And we ended up getting a trail cam picture of him, and was exactly what we thought. You know, a clean 10, probably knock on the door 150 would be my guess. But all those deer we kind of seen were in the 140s to like maybe 150. There was no none of this, oh, there's a booner around every corner in Iowa kind of thing. This was just like, this is what we had for a ceiling, and this is what we had. And Randy was the biggest bodied and the most frequent flyer. So it quickly, the trip turned into Randy or nothing for Aaron. And we bounced between Crossroads and Altuve, which was the little cedar tree called because he's a short little, just a little guy in the baseball field. And we had, you know, some hunts, and we had a really, really good afternoon. One afternoon, I want to say it was probably day three or day, it was probably day three-ish in the afternoon. I think we got in at around 12:30, and from like 1:15, 1 o'clock, 1:30, somewhere in there, every 45 minutes we had a buck, either with does, running, grunting, coming by us. It was great. We did see two nice deer. I think the one could have potentially been Randy that came through, which I think Aaron did confirm it. I haven't looked at all the footage yet. I was filming. It was an exciting hunt. We went back in there the next morning with high anticipation. And, you know, we had a really nice three-year-old work by us, but that was about it. It was pretty dead. We had a lot of – one morning we saw six separate bucks, handful of does, but it was overall not what we were thinking. And we kind of – the hunt's kind of on its end, right? We had some good weather. We had a front come in. We sat in the rain underneath an umbrella. It was fun. We had, you know, young bucks come by. We passed some awesome three-and-a-half-year-olds, just really good hunts. And it was fun. It was a great time doing that. But the grind was setting in, right? We're getting close to the end of the hunt. We have warm weather coming. We kind of had one last day, and there was a little drama. There was some drama with a neighboring guy. Didn't even own the property; just farmed it. He saw a truck parked somewhere and was all being nosy. And you know, we had full permission where we were, and it was permission a guy got for Aaron, like a buddy got for him. So it wasn't even one of so Midwest Antler Company is the is Aaron's buddy Chad Johnson. It's either Johnson or Johnston. He has Midwest Antler Company. He does outfitted hunts for guys in Iowa. That's where we stay. And Aaron's been, I think he's been there like 9 or 10 times with all the filming he's done. And when I rolled into camp with Aaron, like him and the relationship he has with them guys, it's like they're part of his family. So no one, Aaron drew the tag. There was some friends that locals that knew of Aaron and stuff, and they end up saying, "Hey, I got this property that is probably right up your alley, like something you probably would like." And they got it. So it was essentially like a knock on door permission property that Aaron got, and it wasn't even part of one of the properties Chad has. It was just kind of outside Chad's zone, or not unit zone, but like his wheelhouse. So it's pretty cool to have that. You know, that just goes to show the relationship Aaron has with people. But all that to say, we had permission there, and no one really hunted it. And there was some gun hunting pressure on the neighboring properties. And the one guy gun hunted, he like seen a truck where he saw a truck. And he was kind of a douche, man. I hate to say it, but he called and complained and what's going on. Just want to make sure he's not on the property that I farm. And the dude's like, no, he's not. Well, who is it? And he's like, it's my friend, not your friend. That's how you don't know. Just kind of like that, just instantly gave you kind of that vibe. It was a little bit of adversity, right? And I'm bringing this up just to enlighten folks that, you know, even if you might not have that dream hunt that you want, when you put all this effort and resources into something, stuff happens, you're not alone. Like, this stuff goes on with all of us, private land, public land, doesn't matter. There's going to be challenges throughout a year, throughout a season. And it's how you handle those, the adversity to, you know, go forward. And we still hunted. We, you know, were respectful, and we said, hey, we got everything going here. We didn't talk to the guy, but it was like, we're not doing anything wrong. Like, sorry, buddy, but no, we're not going anywhere near your property. Like, we have no desire. We're not hunting your property. We're just hunting the property, your neighboring property, which is very common. Anyways, that morning that we had high anticipation for, we saw some really good buck movement. We had a doe kind of come through to like 11, and we had, you know, we were building for anticipation of the evening hunt, because that's when it was really good. And yes, a lot of the deer were coming from the general area of that guy's property, but they were running ditches and they were running all sorts of stuff. So we kind of had deer movement coming from all around us. Like, if we were there, it wasn't like we're only going to see deer here. It was like, we got to be on lookout all over. Well, that guy ended up, apparently the phone conversation wasn't enough the day before. He came out and drove his, you know, farm truck all over the fields looking for us, because he was just making sure that we were not hunting and trespassing. It's like, dude, we're not. And he did it. He spooked deer in the truck. He was flying around. It was very discouraging. And kind of, you know, it was kind of like, man, I don't, like, this is not what we want on a hunt. But anyways, we kept our heads up. That happened, and we were going to pull an all-day sit that day. So that came to be, and we just powered through for another 4 hours, and 3 o'clock hit, and we hadn't seen a deer. And me and Aaron talking, it's like, I think we need a bounce across the farm, crossroads, and all these deer are probably, that truck didn't help, but they're all here yesterday. They had to be somewhere. They're probably on the other end. Let's go bounce over there. So we do that. We make an aggressive move, and we had to ride the bikes a mile out, hop in the truck. I got a flat tire in the e-bike, which is fun, driving an e-bike with a flat front tire. It can be done. I don't know what kind of tires they got on there, but it had, like, no air in it, and I was able to drive the thing a mile. I went slow, and it never came off the rim, and we got to our truck and drove around the other end. Thankfully, the guy, shout Todd, had a air compressor, and I filled that front tire out. We got out there, and we bombed down there in the e-bikes, and we hunted. And we ended up seeing Randy all the way across the farm. So we had to move, too. The only reason why we moved was the wind switch. And we had wind. I don't know how often this has happened to me, but we had wind switches like crazy. Like, it would swing from – we had them all. We had east, southeast, south, southwest, north, northwest, west. We had all that stuff, and it would switch constantly throughout the day. So we made a move based on not seeing anything and the wind, and I am so happy that we did that, because where we saw Randy, we had a little better vantage point from the other stand, and he was with a doe, and he would have definitely smelled us, potentially where he was. He was still a lot far away from that set, but I think the way the wind was, it could have easily blown into that. The area he was, the CRP he was in, and it would have ruined the hunt. So we were disappointed that, like, man, there he is, but we're not in the game. But we had a really good plan for the morning, as in, like, we're going right back to the stand because we can get visuals. We're going to be able to see, and he is working to the willow bottom, and this, with the wind that we had the following morning, we're going to be perfect. And he had worked by that stand in October when Aaron hunted it. So we were pretty, anticipation was pretty high. So that's what we did. The next morning we got in there, and shortly after daylight, maybe 8 o'clock, no, not even 8 o'clock. I bet it was probably like 7-ish, you know, 30, 45 minutes after daylight, Aaron spots a buck. He says, I see Randy. And saw Randy, and then we couldn't find Randy. And then we see another buck, and this is 600 yards away. And we're like, what's going on? We're getting stuff. We're going through, and all of a sudden, that buck was kind of putting on a show of some does. It looked like it potentially had been a big eight. We're not sure.
This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
And then all of a sudden, boom, Randy appears and runs that buck off. And then we find the doe. We're like, okay, he is still with the doe in the same general area he was the night before. And we're watching. All of a sudden, I'm able to watch him bed down. He beds down, and the doe beds down. And we're like, and there was a tree in the cedar row. And Aaron's like, that tree right there, we got to be in that tree. And I agreed wholeheartedly. I said, yes, we do. This is before he bedded. So we already were talking about getting down and moving the deer beds. We're like, we need to get over there now. The wind is going to be switching. We can't stay here. It's going to blow straight west right to him. We got to get, and he's to our east. And if he works our way through this feature, we are going to be screwed. So we make the aggressive call. We pull that set down. And we make the three-quarter of a mile, or I'll say a half mile because we didn't go all the way to the truck, but we had to go all the way over to the other side of the farm. And we end up locating them again halfway there, and it's not easy, man. It's not easy at all, but we got wind switch happening. It's a southwest wind. It's like, is he going to blow to him? Then it ended up staying true south. That's what we had. We had a south wind to start the day, and it was slowly going from south to southwest to straight west. And maybe a little bit of north and that west was kind of like how the day was going to end. So we made a move and we got to the Willow Bottom, which would have been about halfway to them.
USAA knows dynamic duos can save the day, like superheroes and sidekicks or auto and home insurance. With USAA, you can bundle your auto and home and save up to 10%. Tap the banner to learn more and get a quote at usaa.com/bundle. Restrictions apply.
I located him again. We saw him again with the doe, but he was on his feet, not bedded anymore. So we're like, we cannot stay here because this is going to be a southwest wind and they're going to nab us. So we decided, well, they're still really far away, a few hundred yards. Probably, I would guess when we saw them last time, I'm going to throw a number of 400 yards out, maybe 300 to 300 to 400, somewhere there. Really, I didn't range it. And we took the gamble to get in this bottom. It was sunny. So I kind of felt like if we go in that bottom, it won't be as windy. And it wasn't. And I was thinking in my head, I don't know if I expressed this to Aaron, but I was like, if we go across that bottom, there won't be as much wind and the sun is beaming. Our scent stream should just go straight up. And by the time we get across that bottom, we're going to be already like east of them and it should work. So we did it. We made the gamble and did it. There was, thankfully, there's a berm that we were able to hide behind, and we got east, and Aaron ended up climbing a tree trying to locate this buck. And he could not locate it, could not. And we're discussing what's going on. Wind shift's kind of happening. Deer, we saw some does running. We're just trying to figure out what's going on. And we ultimately decide we got to get over to that tree that we saw all the way across to get a set hung in there. We need it. And we're going to sit there. And if the wind switch finally happens, we might do something different. But we need to get in there. We snuck over there, and it was a walk. It was a trek. We had to hop a fence and slide under a fence. And we got all of our stuff. And we get to the tree, and it is a gnarly tree in the cedar row. And it was a tree that we had seen him go by the night before and that morning. So we're like, he's been here twice in 2 days. We need to get back in there. And we did. Aaron was able to hang the set. I watched, and we climbed up. And I think we got settled in at about 10:30. So I think that the whole ordeal, right, like the getting out of the, like 8 o'clock, we made our decision to get down. Got that set down. We snuck over. We glassed a bunch. We, you know, he climbed a tree to look, hung the set, all that done, 10:30. And it's like, wow, that was a lot. And felt like we were kind of loud, but we're, you know, slowly easing up. But once we got in that tree and that vantage, it was like, no wonder why we're struggling to see deer in here, because it is a jungle. And when you first climb in the tree, you're like, man, if he's laying here with a doe, we'll see him. And we just sat there, and I had made a little comment about, I think if he's with his doe, he's going to show up. They're going to stand back up at noon. Because I've heard, I feel like I just hear this, that if you see a deer, like every 3 hours, they're going to do something. And it was about 9 o'clock last time we seen him get up. So I was like, you know, 3 hours puts it at puts it at noon, and then 3 hours from there, and then 3 hours from there, like, we're in the chips, man. They're going to be moving right before dark. Like, that's kind of the math I was running in my head, and kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, but we had no idea where this deer was. And it's just a sea of CRP in front of us. And, like, we are spending some time behind the binos. Like, I am just trying my darndest to find a rack somewhere. And sure enough, 12 o'clock, I bet it was 12:01. If it wasn't noon, it was 12:01. I am glassing, and I'm looking out 300 yards in front of me and just working left and right and trying to, locate this located buck or a doe or something. In the bottom corner of my binos, I see him get up, stand up out of his bed, boom, he's right in front of us, 150 yards. And all bedlam breaks loose. Like, holy cow, Aaron, he's right here. Like, la, 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 la. You know, he's there. Where is he at? He's right there. And we proceed to watch him for an hour in front of us with a doe, and he bred her three times. It was just fantastic. And it was probably seeing that and how he was operating and working that doe through the willows and stuff. It was really cool. And then we lose him again. And decide to, 1 o'clock we lose him again, and we are looking, we have a really good idea where he was, and what we could potentially do with him, right? Like, do we go at him? Do we do the stalking? What we do? Well, we couldn't verify he really was where he thought he was. So we decided to just sit there, and 2 hours go by, and Aaron's like, I'm hungry. Let's make something to eat right now. I was like, it's a great time to do it. So we get to make some Mountain House meals at a peak at Mountain House. We got the jet boil out. We ate some lunch. Got that all situated. By the time that was all done, I want to say it was a little after 3. We got done about 3:45. And we had been staring at that spot. Because if I found a tine, we're going in on the ground. Like, we're going to go slide in there. Even if I got to stay in the tree to see if he moves, like, we're going to go and do the whole hand signal, puff up the white smoke, figure out what's going on, but could not do it. Just could not locate him for sure. And 4 o'clock, Aaron spots him again, and it's right there. He's 250 yards in front of us, because they worked about 100 yards away into this ditch when we were originally seeing him, and put on a show in there, just like tending his doe, bred her maybe one more time. Got to the point where they laid down, got up 20 minutes later, and like, we're just seeing tips and antlers. Like, we cannot see his body, like, at all. Little glimpses here and there. And we're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at him. Like, Aaron's rattling and using the can. He snort wheezed, he grunted, and did all the stuff. And it was kind of getting interesting because he was with the doe, like, right on the doe, like, I mean, within 10 feet of her the whole time we've seen her. They lay down one time, and he got up about 45 minutes later, and he shook himself off and licked himself and scratched his back, and that doe kept trying to get away from him, and she kept trying to sneak away. You just see, like, you'd barely see her. You just see the CRP, like a wave of the CRP from where she ran, and he would kind of, get her and got that, and I just kept thinking, I'm like, man, I think she's trying to get away with him. I think she's done with him. And we weren't sure what was going on. Anyways, there was a point in time where he did get frustrated because he started making rubs. He was rubbing and thrashing stuff down in there. And all Aaron kept saying is, he just got to expose himself, and I'll hit him good with a rattle antler. We're going to be in the game. Well, hours tick by, and it gets dark at like 5:30, I would say. So probably not hours. I'd say an hour gets by, and it's probably 5 o'clock. And I just don't know. He just is like moving this doe and never getting any closer. She's wanting to come our way, and he won't let her. Finally gets to this point where he exposes himself. And Aaron, and the wind dies down. Finally, the wind dies down. It was really windy. And I was like, he's just not hearing the rattling. And Aaron decides to rattle again. He's like, what do you think? I'm like, you got nothing to lose. We talk about snorries, like, I got nothing to lose. Like, I snort wheezed a buck in 23 from like 250 yards away. Like, give it a rip. And he rattles and snort wheezes, and this buck freaking leaves the doe and comes trotting our way. And it is epic. Like, the whole hunt was just epic and filled with drama and everything I could ask for. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to leave a big cliffhanger here for you guys. But he came in on a line and trotting and grunting and everything. But that's where I'm going to end the story of hunting in Iowa. So just because it's not my story to tell, that's all. And, guys, if you want to know more, I'm sure you'll come out. Aaron's going to do some podcasts. I don't know if I'll be involved with it, but just go check out the fall podcast to get updated on the rest of the story. But all that to say, the reason why I'm back in my truck is because my truck got finished while I was on this trip in Iowa, and I happened to be an hour and 45 minutes away, and a guy that brings guys to the airport was willing to bring me to Omaha to get my truck. So shout out to Pat. Got my truck, and yeah, that's how I'm heading home now. But, well, Iowa is a special place. It was a lot of fun. If you guys are listening to this and have a bunch of, you know, preference points in Iowa and don't know what to do and maybe you're thinking of an outfitted service, I would highly recommend Chad with Midwest Antler Company. Top-notch dude. He has worked his butt off to get where he is. He loves whitetails. He understands the game, right, the chess game. But just be prepared if you have the right mindset when you're going with this. It's outfitted, you know, it costs some money, but the food is great. The sleeping, you know, arrangements are good. It is not this Taj Mahal by any means, which I have never wanted to be there. It's just like a good Midwestern hunt, and he's got a lot of opportunities, right? There's potential to have a really special deer come by and guys get shots. A lot of guys in camp shot deer and have great encounters. A lot of bucks were killed. So, I mean, it's just an overall good experience. So if you guys don't know who to go to, I highly recommend that. Giving him a follow. And I think they have an Instagram page. You can reach out to him and book your hunt. If you're that guy with a lot of Iowa points, right? And maybe it's one of those things where you set up in a way where you do that. And if you don't succeed, you can hit public or do whatever. But, you know, you get that tag once every 6 years. So might as well make the most of it. But, yeah, that's my shout out for him. And I do want to just kind of do a little look ahead here in this episode here. We got gun opener coming up, and I am ecstatic. I have a buck tag in my pocket. Henry and me and probably Ashley are going to be able to sit together on opening day, and we are going to be sitting all day. Henry's got a doe tag. I got doe tags. I got a buck tag. We're going to burn some powder. We are going to burn some powder in the old 270 on opening day, and it's going to be good. More memories are going to be made up through my family. Really looking forward to that. There is a couple bucks potentially still around. I haven't really reached out to anyone to see what has maybe met their demise since I was there last. But no matter what, there's does, and the vitalized plots are looking good. I saw when I bow hunted there with my dad a couple weeks ago, we saw a lot of deer using them. They were looking green. We've had some cold weather, and the crops are all off, so I think it's going to be a really good hunt. I'm blessed to be able to go with my grandpa and my dad and my uncle. And, you know, I don't know who else in my family is going to make it. I don't know if the brother-in-law is, because shout out to him and my sister. They just had their first kid. But I'm just kind of like, I'm anxious to go. I might try to sneak out with my bow before. That's going to have to be a lot of things are going to line up right for that to happen. But I'm looking forward to it. And then, you know, however gun season ends up shaking out, I definitely am going to be in the game, hopefully, with some late season archery hunts. I have some properties that I hunt that I just don't gun hunt, just the way it's structured with permission and how it kind of lays out. I don't necessarily want to be in there with a gun anyways. Not that I just don't like people knowing where I'm at. And that's a private land thing and small permission pieces. I try to be as stealthy as I can. So if I'm sitting somewhere and all of a sudden, kapow, the gun goes off, I mean, who knows what might happen with that. And a lot of times I get permission because I say I'm a bow hunter. Not necessarily saying that I ask for just bow hunting permission, but that's kind of what I lead with. It's like, hey, I like to bow hunt, and I would love to bow hunt your property if that's something you'd be willing to do, and I kind of stick to that. So there's a good chance I might tote the bow with some orange on, too, to slide into some spots. But yeah, I got a lot to look forward to, and I'm excited for gun opener, man. It's like Christmas. I'm not too good to dust a deer with the old rifle. So it's going to be fun. Then I think that's kind of it, but I'll go through the partners here at the end of this podcast, since I'm not going to have the intro with it. Huge shout out to Vitalized Seed, Carbon Load Plots. Like I said, are looking great. My buddy, oh, I didn't want to bring that up. Shout out to Dan Johnson, not Nine Fingers. He ended up shooting a buck in a Vitalized plot, the one that me and Henry put a lot of time into this summer, the plot that I stayed up till 3 a.m. Planting in September before we had the good rain showers. I think it was September. Maybe it was like end of August. And it grew awesome, and he ended up shooting a dandy buck with his bow. And actually, it was a little dramatic. I'm sure we'll do a podcast on it, but we'll find it. Fred, another partner of the show, Tony Hill, he had to go in there and help get the deer, and it was a little dramatic, but they ended up recovering the deer and got it. And Dan did everything right. And, you know, when you use a tracking dog effectively, you can recover more game. I mean, it's flat simple. There's less deer left in the woods. So Vitalized Seed, find it, Fred. Tony Hill, find it, Fred. DH3, Deer Hunter Synthetic Scents. I didn't really talk about it too much, I don't think, my last season update, but when I walked out of my last sit, I had made this mock scrape, and I used DH3 to get started with a vine. And, dude, there was like four huge open areas around the scrape. I'm talking like a 10-foot by 10-foot area just shredded. The ground was just tore up. And that was just started with a DH3 scrape. And it's one of the scrapes I talked about in an in-season, like a scouting episode I did. So I love DH3. It's worked great for me. And just paired up with the things I do. I mean, I'm not going out in the woods and spraying the stuff down every single time I'm there. It's just kind of what I use to get my mock scrapes fired up. And then we have, I feel like I'm missing one here. I know I'm missing one. I'm missing Matt Deemer, Wildlife Legends Taxidermy, baby. Henry's mount looks awesome. He shot his buck, Henry shot his buck last year in the youth hunt, and it was a 10-point, and that summer coat before the transition all the way into their fall, and being, you know, thinner hair on there, the mount detail is fantastic. Henry loves it. It looks really good. Top notch, man. I was in there and saw a lot of mounts that were getting done. They were working on bears when I was there, actually. So they're just cranking through the black bears and getting ready for right now. I mean, I think I picked that up, you know, in October, and he was already getting mounts in and getting stuff going. The place is always bumping. So shout out to him and all the guys that work with Matt. They all care about the process and the project and preserving that memory. And, if I'm missing one, it's because my brain is, it's late at night. I'm trying to pull an all-nighter here, driving home. I think those are the part of the show. Really appreciate all the opportunities that they've given me, and look forward to continue those relationships moving forward. But please give this podcast a review, ranking, or you listen. Check out Michigan Wild Pod on Instagram. Go follow Rome Hunt on Facebook and Instagram also. We've got a lot of content on there, a lot of short reels. We got some videos in the works. I'm editing my buck kill still. I have been busy, obviously, with hunting in November and work, but I got a lot of it done and kind of stitched together. We've got a couple other videos on there. There's going to be a doe killing video on there from the Patreon hunt we went on. I think if you want to know more about that, they did a great job kind of talking about the Patreon hunt. Adam's podcast, Boner Chronicles, they did an update on there, the guys did. But they're getting ready to gear up for Kansas. They're going to be going to Kansas next week, a couple days after gun opener. And I cannot wait to see what they get into and be updated on that. Shout out to everyone else who's out there grinding it, trying to fill some tags. Enjoy it. Take a moment to, you know, look at the stars on the way in the morning. You know, appreciate that sunset, sunrise a little bit more, and just be thankful for the position that you're in to be able to enjoy this awesome hobby and, you know, get a little closer to God in every sit you have. It's always an interesting thing with me, not trying to do too much of a tangent here at the end, but I'm by myself in the truck, so this is what's happening. But the spiritual aspect of bow hunting and gun hunting, you know, bow hunting a little more because I think you're kind of in the tree. You don't have, you know, when you're in a gun hunt, I'm usually in a blind, so it's a little different feel. But great time to, reflect on how my year's been, where I'm at headspace-wise, what I'm wanting to do next year maybe, what my goals are. Just being outside and, you know, taking all that in and just, you know, appreciate it really helps recharge me and makes me feel better. I think it's, I know I'm excited to be home and see the family, but also I crave being outside and enjoying this. And I never feel this way in Kansas last year too. So it's really good to do that. I highly recommend anyone who's on the fence and maybe going out of state or, you know, hunting a couple days in a row, or maybe really going into like bow hunting or hunting trips or whatever that may be. Could be pheasant hunts, could be fishing trips, could be any of that stuff. You go do it, man. Go do it. Have the time of your life. Experience new things. And it's not just because you're punching tags or filling the freezer. It's more of meeting new people, seeing new areas, talking to locals, whatever that may be. It's just a good overall thing, and feel pretty blessed to be able to do that. So that's it. I think I'm going to end it there. You guys know what to do this week. Get out there. Enjoy gun opener. Watch Escanaba in the moonlight. I'm fired up. I can't wait to be sitting in the blind, you know, family tradition, and getting all the texts from all the buddies that are out there. Hopefully I'm doing the same. Have a good week, guys. See you. Catch you later.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.